Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Mona, you know, that ain't nothing, just mispronouncing a name. A few years ago, I introduced somebody by the wrong name when they were joining. That was several years ago. I'm much more mature, but now I'm just mispronouncing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, I want to say that again, because that's important. We skip right over that, but I want you to hear those words. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Let's pray. We're going to pray in just a minute. Everybody turn around and look outside. All right, now let's pray. Father, we rejoice in the rain. It's a reminder of who You are and Your provision to us. And it's also a reminder of our absolute dependence upon You. So come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm wrapping up the sermon series, Hallelujah Living, which we've talked about for several weeks now, But we're not wrapping up the season of praise. That will go all the way through Easter, and there's still a couple of weeks left there. And if you don't have one of the books of leading you through the books of the Scripture of Praise each week, they're available on both of the tables as you leave today. Grab one of those, grab five of those, however many that you'd like to have, and follow those Scriptures and prayerfully consider those Scriptures each day between now and Easter. And so we're in this season of 40 days of praise. Now, we've the sermons have gone kind of like this. We've kind of been building and having this hopefully coming to a crescendo here. But originally, the first week we had, I spoke about how we as God's people are created to praise. That's our purpose in life, is to bring honor and praise and glory to God Almighty. That's your purpose. If you're a child of the King, that's your purpose. And that's why you were created. Not for all this other stuff that we find ourselves occupied in during our week and during our day. Those are fine, and we have to work, and we have to, you know, raise children and do all those things that we do. But we were created to bring honor and praise and glory to Jesus. And then secondly, second week, we talked about how praise is a choice, and there's an intentionality to it. We choose to praise, or we choose, this is kind of a tough word for us to hear, but to wallow. I don't think you've ever heard from another pulpit the term spiritual whiny hinies. I like to be unique. But we have a choice to praise God in all circumstances, or we have a choice to wallow. That's our choice. It's no one else's. Too many times I wallow. How about you? When I should be praising. And then the third week we talked about how praise is powerful, how there's, it's not just this discipline that we go through, but there's something that happens through praise. There's something that can break in our own heart. There's something that can happen and can shift in the spiritual realm. Praise is powerful. I've seen it and I've lived it. And then last week we talked about what does praise look like? And I mentioned that something that I have learned over the years is that you can't always tell by what's going on the outside what's happening on the inside. I know some of the most godly people that I've ever encountered are not real expressive outwardly. But man, they are tied in with Jesus. And praise is something that exudes from the inside out because we understand what Jesus has done for us. I know I was thinking as we were worshiping right before I came up here, I was thinking that you may say, well, you still are, but I would have made a really lousy, not just a kind of lousy, I would have made a really lousy preacher when I was younger because I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I couldn't praise Jesus because I didn't really understand what he had done for me. Praise exudes from the inside out, and it's based on our knowledge of what Christ has done for us, this how he has rocked our world and how he took nails for us. That's what praise looks like. And then today, we're going to wrap up with praise is sacrificial. Praise is sacrificial. Now, I want to talk about that word sacrifice for a minute. And we know the Old Testament, God instituted sacrifices for his people that they were to take, the best of their of whatever they had, and they were to offer a sacrifice to God. Well, I want to kind of get that word sacrifice a little bit deeper into our mind. And I was thinking about this week as I was thinking about trying to describe that in the game of baseball. You have a couple of things that you have sacrifice flies and sacrifice bunts. And I was thinking, why do they call that a sacrifice fly? And in what if you don't know baseball, sacrifice fly is when someone's on base, specifically third base, and you're trying to get them home, and the batter has a choice. They can try to hit safely and build their batting average and look good for the crowd and all of that stuff, or they can perform a sacrifice fly where they are giving themselves in sacrifice to get the player home for the good of the team and for a larger purpose than their batting average. They are willing to give away that at bat in order to score the player. And the sacrifice bunt is much the same. Instead of trying to hit the ball into the outfield where when it's caught the runner can release from third base and run home, they try to bunt so that the runner can advance and come home, and they know that they will be thrown out, and they will sacrifice that at bat. So I want us to just kind of think about that as we walk through the Scripture, God's Word, and this Scripture that we're looking at today in Hebrews chapter 13. First thing is that sacrificial praise is costly. Sacrificial praise is costly. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. It costs us something. It is not just when times are going really well. It's not when everything is turning up rosy in our life. No, what the writer of Hebrews is telling us, no, it's to be a sacrifice of praise. It's to cost us something. It's when things aren't going well. That's when it's a sacrifice. Anyone can praise Jesus when the world is rosy, when we're healthy and we got plenty of money and everybody likes us. That's easy to praise God, isn't it? But the Bible says to offer God the sacrifice of praise. I was drawn back to the passage, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just kind of explain it to you. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel, the children, the sons of Adam and Eve, and how one of them, Cain, was a farmer, and Abel became a rancher. And it says that as they grew up, they came and offered a sacrifice unto God. And this was the first recorded sacrifice. And Cain, it says that he offered. Now listen to this wording. I've wrote it down very specifically, and this is out of Genesis 4 if you want to read it. It says, Cain, who was a tiller of the land, a farmer, it said he offered some of the fruits of the soil. I mean, some of the fruits of the soil. I mean, it's like, I don't know, and probably bad, but my wife likes to garden. Well, And I've never really watched her, but I'll be willing to bet our family gets the choice fruit out of that garden. And if there's something left, you know, my mom might get a couple of, bug infested, cantaloupes or something. I don't know. Mom, do you get the bug infested ones? Yeah, that's what I thought. I see Cain kind of going, man, I'm going to keep all this good stuff, and God, you and Louise get the bug-infested cantaloupe. That's my mom's name, by the way. And so that's what it seems to indicate. He gave some of the fruits of the soil. And then listen to what it said about Abel, Abel was a worker of livestock. He was a rancher. Or perhaps a sheep herder. He had livestock. And it says that he gave the fat portions of the firstborn. Do you hear that? Do you hear the difference? I got some of the fruit of the ground. I gave some of it. I gave God the fat portions of the firstborn. The best of the best. Well, we know that God found Cain's sacrifice, he saw it unfavorably. And he saw Abel's favorably. Well, we know how the story turned out, that Cain ended up killing Abel out of jealousy. The first murder of humanity. He killed his brother. And then we see, as we're thinking about this, how things are costly, sacrificial praise is costly. Then we think about Abraham and Isaac. Jumping forward into Genesis chapter 22, and God had promised Abraham that he would be a mighty nation, that his descendants would be as many as the stars are in the sky and as the grains of sand are on the shore. That's the type of nation that God would build through Abraham. And we know that in his old age, I think he was 99 when Isaac was finally born, and Sarah was 90. Ladies, how would you like to be 90 years old and pregnant? Well, that's what happened to Sarah. But Isaac comes along, and you're going, I wouldn't want to be 80 years old and pregnant either. But Isaac comes along, and so he is the heir to the promise. And they loved Isaac. And then God said, take Isaac. I want you to take him up on this mountain. Take some wood. Take some fire. Take a knife, and I want you to strap him down, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. What do you think, if we were Abraham, what would we do with that? A sacrifice of praise. Well, Abraham was obedient, and he long story short, he takes Isaac to the top of the mountain, and he straps him down, and he raises the knife, and he's preparing to follow through with what God has said, and God stops him and says, don't lay a hand on the boy. He said, I know now that you love me and that you would not even withhold your only son. Guess what? We jump forward a few hundred years, and guess who didn't withhold their only son? Praise, sacrificial praise is costly. Secondly, sacrificial praise is intentional and consistent. Intentional and consistent. That passage that we just read today, through Jesus, therefore, let us sometimes offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Is that what your version says? Is this on? Does it say sometimes? Does it say most of the time offer the sacrifice of praise? Does it say when things are going well, offer to God the sacrifice of praise? No, it says continually. In other words, it should just exude in our life. It should just flow out of us that we are a grateful and a thankful people and that we praise God in all circumstances. Now that, we're going to get to the challenge of that in a moment. But that's the challenge before us, is that sacrificial praise is to be intentional and consistent. Philippians 4, which I preached on a few weeks ago, says, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise continually. Do you hear the intentionality and the consistency of what God is challenging us to do? And again, I preached on this a few weeks ago, but it goes back to the Paul and Silas in the prison. Acts chapter 16 is where this is found, and they had been spreading the gospel, and they cast a demon out of this lady, and she was had been able to predict the future as when she was demon possessed. And so when they cast the demon out, she began to cost her owners money. They became angry, and they drug in Paul and Silas to the Sanhedrin, and they said, these men are doing, they started making up all kinds of lies about them. They beat them, they whipped them, they threw them in prison. Now, great backdrop for praise, right? You know, wouldn't we all be sitting in the prison cells praising God? We've had a day like that. No, Paul and Silas were sitting in the dungeon, and they had shackles on their hand, and they were bleeding, and they were probably near death. And the other prisoners and the guards began to hear them singing praises to God. That is intentionality and consistency. And they knew it. I mean, they were doing it because of what Christ had done for them. They got it. They got it. Third thing, sacrificial praise. And here we go into the how. Sacrificial praise is possible through the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit is how we can do this. It's how, and when we ask the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, as Billy was saying this morning, you know, during the prayer time, you know, we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, living inside of us through His Spirit, and somehow we just live down here, we wallow, don't we? If we're honest, we wallow. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to offer the sacrifice of praise. Acts chapter 1, this is the resurrected Christ. He's telling the disciples before He ascends to heaven. He's telling them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, He says, you will receive what? Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then what are you to do with that power? And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How do we witness? What's a powerful witness for God? Praise. And praise when things are at their worst. That's powerful. I see it. This past week, and I won't mention names because I don't have permission, but I have visited a couple of people who are probably spending their last days, maybe weeks, on this earth. And they know it. And they're coming to that end of their life. And you know what? As I visited with both of them, neither one of them was wallowing. They had a peace that passes understanding in the midst of an uncertain future by the world standards. You will receive power. Boom! You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witness. Jesus Himself said, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to Me. Now, one of my favorite examples of sacrificial praise being enabled through the power of the Holy Spirit is the story of Stephen. And I'm going to just skim over it fairly quickly here, but it's found in, I think I actually listed it in your handout, Acts chapter 7. Stephen was, Christ had been resurrected. He had descended. He had sent the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts is that early church, how it was getting established and so forth. Stephen was the first martyr for his faith after Christ ascended and sent the Holy Spirit. So he is spreading the gospel, and he's actually scolding the church, the Jewish leaders of the church. He's scolding them and telling them, he's giving them the what for. And they didn't like that. So listen, I'm gonna read just a few verses here in Acts 7:58-55. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, now they're dragging him out, preparing to, waiting for him to say just the right thing to stone him. full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragging him out of the city and began to stone him. Now, do you think that's the scene. They're stoning him. Do you think that he is set up for a great moment of praise? Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, which we know later becomes Paul, one of the greatest early leaders of the church. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. So Stephen is being stoned, and he's asking the Lord to forgive them. Do you think he was giving sacrificial praise? You think those circumstances lended themselves to that sort of a response? But at the very first verse I read, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what makes sacrificial praise possible in our lives. And then finally, I want us to look at this, and I want to spend just a few minutes on this. Sacrificial praise is modeled perfectly by Jesus. He is our model. Now, we're leading in, next week is Palm Sunday, and the next week is Easter. So we're coming into this very holy and sacred time for the Christian church, where we remember what Christ accomplished on our behalf, and we remember that he has overcome our sin and he has overcome death itself. And so I encourage you to go and look at all four of the Gospels and just kind of read through towards the end of each of the Gospels, those last couple of weeks leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. Powerful, powerful stuff. God will speak to your heart. He will touch your heart through his word. But in John 17, Jesus has been telling the disciples what's going to happen. Okay? People, you know, there was a big debate a few years ago when the Passion of the Christ came out, and there's a big debate in the media. It's like, who's Mel Gibson say killed Jesus? You know, was it the Roman soldiers, or was it the Jewish people, or was it this or was that? It's like, I'm like, dude, y'all don't get it. You don't get it at all. Our sins nailed him to the cross, but he was not killed. He sacrificed his life on our behalf. He sacrificed on our behalf. He had been telling the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of evil men. He is going to be beat. He is going to be whipped. He is going to be unjustly convicted. He is going to die a horrible death. And on the third day, he's going to rise from the dead. That's what Jesus had been telling them. And so leading up to that time, leading up to that trip into Jerusalem that Jesus had already predicted, he begins to pray. He begins to pray for himself and for his disciples. Did you know Jesus prayed for you and I? It's there. Look it up. It's in John. I think it's around chapter 18 of John, where Jesus, it may be 17, when he begins to pray for us, those who would come to believe through the word of the disciples. That's you and I. Well, here he's praying for himself, and here's what he says. John 17:1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, the Father, the time has come. Now listen to this. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. See, Jesus himself was his journey into Jerusalem, his sacrificial journey into Jerusalem, was a sacrifice that would bring glory to God. Sacrificial praise is modeled perfectly by Jesus. And then it doesn't stop there. In Matthew 26, after Jesus arrived, and we got to see this a few years ago, we went to Israel, and it was so awesome. We got to stand up in the Garden of Gethsemane and look across what they call the Kidron Valley into the and saw the walls of Jerusalem and saw the all the Dome of the Rock and all those things that look across that valley. And we were in the garden. They say that some of those, and they look, these things were massive. They had some olive trees in that garden that were so, the trunks were just so massive. And they think some of those trees are over 2,000 years old. Guess who was there praying under those trees 2,000 years ago? So awesome. Jesus finds himself in the garden, and here's what he's praying as he's preparing for the cross. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Now here you have this this King of Kings, this Savior, Messiah, that you, as a group of disciples, you have already acknowledged he is the Messiah. And you've spent 3 years with him, and you've seen him do incredible things. You've seen him walk across water. You've seen him raise the dead and heal the leper and heal the blind and so forth. And you see him sorrowful and troubled. And here's what he says to them: "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Not just, this is kind of, sort of, not really looking forward to this, but "I am sorrowful to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground. "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he comes back. He finds the disciples sleeping. He gives them a lecture about that, and he says, "I'm going to go pray again." He goes, and it says he prayed the same prayer: "Father, if this cup can be taken from me, take it from me, but not as I will, as you be done." And then comes back, they're asleep. A third time it says he went, and what was his prayer? The same prayer, three times. And what the Lord has impressed upon me a couple of years ago, what Jesus was saying, isn't there another way? Father, isn't there another way? My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Isn't there another way? And we see in the other Gospels where Jesus was literally sweating drops of blood. And there's a medical condition where that happens under extreme stress in very rare instances. So this was, Jesus knew what was ahead of him. And he's saying, isn't there another way? But Father, I trust you. I'm going to give you the sacrifice of praise, and I'm going to bring glory to you. Glorify me that I might glorify you. Romans 3:25 tells us that God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Don't we want that, church? Don't we want to be like Jesus? I mean, our hope to be able to do that, to at least resemble that, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is our perfect example of sacrificial praise. I want you, if you would, just bow your head with me. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the example he has given us. May our lives be laid on your altar, God. May you do with us as you would. And may our lives, as Jesus said, may our lives bring glory to you. Teach us how to give the sacrifice of praise, God. Empower us by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, stir us, change us. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. we close today. I also have a baptism that I'm going to do. I hope that you will stay for that. As I said a couple of weeks ago when we had a baptism, is that, you know, it says that the angels in heaven rejoice when someone comes into faith in Jesus Christ. And if it's good enough for the angels, it's good enough for us. We should rejoice in that. This is a special moment for the young man that we will do in just a moment. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, come and see me after church. I pray that He is. I pray that you've surrendered your heart to Christ. Let's stand.
I will bless the Lord forever. I will trust Him at all times. He
Yeah, y'all can get up here, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, family. This is Kason Hannah, and Kason has been coming to our youth group for a long time and has been talking about receiving Christ as his Lord and Savior for a while. And we've had a visit, and so he comes this morning. He's already asked Christ in his heart. He comes this morning to make it official for us to receive that and to be baptized. So, Kason, if you'll turn and face me for just a second, and we talked about some questions. So, first of all, do you confess that you're a sinner? And do you ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior in your heart, and you want to be baptized. Amen. If you'll sit right there, Dad's going to assist me. Kason, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stay right there a second, buddy. All right. We rejoice with you. Come, y'all come up here and let's put a hand on Cason and let's pray for him. Awesome, awesome. All right. A lot of people love you, Cason, but Jesus loves you more. So, Lord, we just thank you for the saving gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you that Cason has said yes to you, and you have long ago said yes to him. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Fill Cason with your Spirit, God, from the top of his head to the tip of his toes, God, that he may just be a brand new creation in Christ, that he may be empowered by your Spirit to go and be the man you've called him to be. God, change him this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and give God the sacrifice of praise. We are dismissed.
You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help. You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need.